Money Talk.
Good evening, listeners, and welcome to today's Money Talk. I'm Lalima Aneja Dang, and today we shall be discussing about implications of the West Asian conflict on Indian economy and stock markets. And to discuss this, we have with us Mr. A.K. Bhattacharya, economic analyst.
Thank you.
Mr. Bhattacharya, welcome to Money Talk. So in the light of the Operation Epic Fury by the U.S. and Operation Lion's Roar by Israel, how has West Asia rattled the world's economy, Mr. Bhattacharya?
Well, the world economy is in turmoil because, as you know, that when Israel and U.S. are bombarding the state of Iran, and the result of which the Strait of Hormuz, which carries a significant part of global oil traffic, is stopped and blocked. So therefore, the world is affected because everybody is dependent on this fossil fuel. So economic growth, inflation, because oil prices are going up, the gas prices in the U.S. have almost trebled, and the recession fears are being expressed in various circles. The external accounts of different countries under attack. I think the world is definitely in turmoil, and we have to wait and see to what extent this pause that's been declared by the U.S. President Donald Trump is actually followed and adhered to, and whether it leads to permanent solution or the resolution of the crisis, putting an end to the oil crisis that the whole world is right now facing.
Mr. Bhattacharya, Mr. Trump seems to have softened a bit, if I could say that. Would that impact the markets? Because the Dow Jones was up yesterday, and today we saw our Sensex also going up by about 2%, because the markets are sensitive to what's happening around you and the sentiment around us, especially the global sentiment. How do you view that? Or do you think it's just a correction or a passing phase?
Well, you are absolutely right. I think the stock markets have responded with some relief, I would say, because when the U.S. decides to enforce a kind of pause on its war on a country and on Iran, so the expectation is this probably oil will start flowing a little more smoothly. So as you know that the Brent crude price softened. It was ruling at well over $110 per barrel. It has come down to around 100. The stock markets globally, the Dow Jones has moved up rapidly. Something similar has happened to the Indian stock markets today. So yes, the news that the hostilities will come to an end, already about over 4,000 people have been killed in Iran as a result of these hostilities. So the markets are heaving a sigh of relief. How long will this last? No one can say, because Mr. Trump has claimed that he has held some talks with the Iranian leaders, but the Iranians have denied these suggestions. So we still don't know what is really going on. What we know is that the world is still uncertain. The oil supplies are still uncertain. Ships are being allowed to pass through the Strait of Hormuz selectively. Some Indian ships, to India's great relief, have been allowed to pass, which is why some tankers have landed in Kandla and even in Vizag. It is still uncertain, still early times, to take a call on whether the relief that you saw in the stock market and the oil prices will be something that will stay on like this, or the recovery will continue. It all depends on what really happens in the next few days, and particularly after the fifth day of Mr. Trump's pause.
Even were to assume that the war would come to an end or President Trump would soften, do you think that the loss or the disruption that has been caused because of the burning of the oil fields, especially in Qatar and other Gulf areas, do you think that could still push the prices of the crude oil and gas a little higher, and that would put pressure on our rupee? I mean, notwithstanding the fact that in the last 11 years, India has done well to diversify its energy import sources from 27 countries to 41 countries. Still, how do you see the impact?
I think what has happened to the oil fields is going to be a problem for these countries who produce that oil and treat these oil sources as a decent chunk of their total revenues. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of the Gulf countries depend hugely on oil revenues. So if their oil facilities are damaged, so these countries will be in a bit of financial trouble. But having said that, globally, we are right now flush with oil. Most countries have got a lot of oil reserves. Even a country, India, for example, has got a reserve of oil which will last it for almost 60 to 65 days. So I don't see that the destruction of oil fields will have a problem of oil supply per se, but certainly it will mean the demand for reconstructing those oil fields, which will mean that there will be a lot of demand for work, construction activities in the Gulf areas. And remember that the oil prices have not really come down. They were ruling at around $60, $65 a barrel before the war started. Now they are around $100 a barrel. So these Gulf countries, in spite of the destruction that have been wreaked on them, have actually will be benefiting from the higher oil prices. So a lot of money will flow into those countries, and therefore there will be a lot of reconstruction activities that will take place, which probably would mean some sort of investment demand for countries that supply cheap labor or cheap raw materials or construction materials. So I look at it and the oil prices will not be affected because we are right now flush with oil. A lot of countries have moved to renewable energies, so the demand for oil is that much less. And the second thing is that the reconstruction demand will go up. So economic activity will probably pick up in many of these countries because they will need to reconstruct and build their oil facilities all over again.
The prices of oil, as you mentioned, are currently around $100 a barrel. Do you think this could put a pressure on our rupee? Also, the fact that the current account deficit can widen?
There is no reason that India's external account will not be under pressure. So far in the current year, we have to look at the Indian basket crude oil price, which in the current year, and if you look at the annual average price of Indian basket crude price, it is right now around $71 a barrel. This is slightly lower than what was last year. But from next year onwards, my sense is that in 2026-27, the average Indian basket crude price will be well over 100, because already as on 23rd of March, the Indian basket crude price was hovering around $149 a barrel. So India's the demand for more dollar to finance India's oil imports will be on the rise. So it will put some pressure on our earnings, external account. And you will see that our current account deficit, which was reasonable in the current year, around 1.5% of GDP, which will probably go up to 2% of GDP. And now, this is not something which is unsustainable. What we need to do and make sure is that our exports revive and exports do better than what they have done in the last few years. We also have to make sure that foreign investments keep flowing in. We have seen a new trend in Indian economy where foreign investors are coming in, but they are also repatriating and disinvesting from their investments and taking their money back. So as a result, the net foreign direct investment has not been very, very good. So we need to make sure that the domestic economic environment of doing business is better so that people bring in their money and stay invested in this country.
Mr. Bhattacharya, whenever war happens, like it's happening in West Asia, the impact is direct and indirect both. We are also talking about people's safety. We have about 1 crore Indians working in Gulf countries, and we've brought back 3,75,000 Indians back to India safely. And there is also going to be remittances which will be affected, because a lot of Gulf money has led to development of higher standards in Bihar and in Kerala. How do you see that being impacted?
On both the fronts, we need to be very watchful. Almost about 9 million Indians stay in the Gulf area, and many of them, as you rightly pointed out, almost 25 or 30% of those Indians have already come back to India. I'm quite sure that when situation gets back to normal, they will like to go back because they were leading a different kind of life with better earnings, most probably. Now, that is an area of concern. But the other area of concern is, as you rightly pointed out, the remittances. We are not that dependent on remittances, but please remember that almost around $140 billion of remittances come into this country from various parts of the world, and Gulf is the largest contributor to it. There are a large number of Indians who live in the Gulf area. As a matter of fact, almost 28% of the Gulf population are right now Indians. As India is vitally interested in a decent pace of economic activity and safety for people who live in the Gulf area. So I entirely agree with you that is an area of concern, and which is why I think the Prime Minister, as well as the Government of India's various representatives, are engaging with talks with leaders of the Gulf areas and the Arab world and trying to make sure that life and safety of Indians there are taken care of.
truly the government is at its diplomatic best on that front. Mr. Bhattacharya, comparisons are odious, but let me do it anyway. During the pandemic, rural growth was good, but here we're talking about fertilizers. Now, this kind of disruption that has happened, we were importing fertilizers. Now we are diversifying the import of fertilizers from different countries. How does that affect the rural economy of our country right now?
Well, it does impact the economy, because please remember that it has negative impact on India's public finances more than the rural economy, because fertilizer is one commodity which is hugely subsidized by the government. And as a matter of fact, the subsidies bill that the government of India incurs on fertilizer has been rising at an uncomfortably high base. Now, with fertilizer prices going up because of the oil prices also going up, the government subsidies bill will increase. And I don't think the rural economy will be directly be hurt, but certainly the government's public finances, the task of containing the fiscal deficit to a level of 4.3% of GDP, as the finance minister had promised this year, will be a bit of a challenge. And I think the government has to make sure that India's march or slogan of Atmanirbharata or self-reliance also result in India setting up more fertilizer capacity, producing more fertilizers and selling them not at a subsidized price, but rather at a cost price, so that the companies are more enthused to set up new fertilizer plants so that they can recover their costs.
Let's talk about stocks once again. At this time today, of course, the markets went up by about 2%, but still we have seen the markets shoot up beyond 84,000, the Sensex particularly. Do you think now that the Sensex is down, is this the right time for investment? And if yes, then how should one proceed? Should one go in for the blue chips? Please guide.
It's a tricky question, because when stock market is in this kind of a turmoil, the people with a weak heart should not dabble in stocks. If you are a long-term investor, stay invested. And if you are going in for short-term risks and you have the stomach for withstanding that risk, by all means, one should go ahead. But this is not the time to dabble in stocks, because unless you have an appetite for risk-taking, it depends on your age profile, depends on your income resilience that you have. So I would not say that this is the time to get enthused by the stock recovery on one day's price of 2% increase. Please remember that in the last few couple of weeks at least, the stock markets have nosedived, the values have eroded. So therefore, this is not the time to experiment with stock markets.
And where do you see the gold and silver prices going in the light of the West Asia conflict?
Well, even the gold prices have taken a knock or two, in the sense that the gold prices have come down, even though by a lower margin than the stocks, because gold is still considered relatively more safe and secure asset class. So people are still buying gold and silver. Silver more because of industrial activities, but gold is for the store value. So I think gold is still considered a more safe asset class than the stocks in the current situation.
Mr. Bhattacharya, we also came to know that a few ships, as you also mentioned, came through the Strait of Hormuz, and we also got many of our people back from the Gulf countries. Do you think that is a sign of a robust foreign policy that we've been sustaining and we've worked upon in the last few years? Is it a culmination of all that effort?
I think the government has managed it well in an environment which was very uncertain, by engaging with Iranian leaders and at the same time engaging with having talks with the other Gulf countries. India has protected its vital strategic interests, and it's a sign of India's, I would say, global heft also, that we have managed to secure easy passage for some of our ships carrying oil and gas. And I'm reasonably certain that India is among those countries which have also struck a good deal with the Iranians and the other Gulf countries, because they're all interested in the oil prices to stay in a reasonably manageable level.
Yes, and we have a few ships still docked at the Strait of Hormuz, and we hope that with Indian crew, and we hope that they also manage to come here.
Thank you.
Listeners, you may also listen to this program on our mobile app News on AIR and our YouTube channel News on AIR Official. Money Talks.